Welcome to Shelby Confessions, a mix of inspiration and understanding to help you cherish the day. Hey, you guys. Today I would like to talk about, it's crazy. I've talked previously about both my parents, and I kind of want to further go into detail of the aftermath. Before I ended up living with my grandparents, me and my mom, I did live with her at a point in time. And after she had lost her job and was trying to get back on her feet and maintain, we lived in a house. The house, she couldn't keep up with the bills and everything. So first thing started to go was the lights. And so we had candles everywhere. And I think that's why now, like, I'm a huge candle fanatic, but we had candles everywhere, like blankets galore, or I would wear crazy clothes to layer up, because at this time it was like December, so it was cold. Second, the water had went out. So when the water went out, we went to our next door neighbor. Her name was Miss Jackson, and Miss Jackson would let us borrow water. And we had these pickle buckets, and we would fill it up with water. We'd fill up with water and I'd take a bath in it. And then to sleep at night, we would cuddle up, because, I mean, this house is about to be abandoned, basically. No lights, no water. So anybody could break in. So my mom would make sure I would stay in the room with her. Food, I didn't really eat food. It was kind of like tuna, or like honey buns, and so it was like real convenience food. Well, at night, my mom used to go gambling. My mom had a very bad gambling problem. To where there was this truck stop, like not too far from our house, and we would go to a truck stop. The thing was, my mom had this van. I would stay in the van, and my mom would be at the truck stop gambling. Well, the crazy thing was, I would sleep in the van, but one night, I remember in particular, I just couldn't. I was really attached to my mom, so I was like, I want to go see what's the big huff and puff about. So I get out of the van, and I go, I'm sitting outside, so excuse me. I go into the diner, because obviously I couldn't go into the little casino betting place. I'm going to the diner, and the waitress was like, oh, just have a seat. So I sit all the way to the back, and I sit there, and the lady was like, do you want to order? And I was like, no. So she gave me water, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just looking at the menu, and I'm starving at this point. And I had sat there for like a good 2 hours max. And I guess they called the police, or a police officer walked in and the waitress pointed at me. So the police officer came and he was like, you know, what's your name? And I kind of refused to talk. Like, I didn't want to say anything. And I just started like getting really nervous. And so he was like, well, where's your parents? And I just shook my head and I pointed at the casino, the little slot place. And so he was like, well, what's your name? And I stuttered and I said, Shelby. And so after that, he went into the casino, found my mom, and my mom burst running back and she starts hugging me. She said, oh my gosh. She was like, I can't believe he did that. And she explains to the officer that my dad, quote, my dad I was supposed to be with my dad. And then my dad, I guess, got angry and just decided to drop me off here, which she said she was pissed because she didn't know I was out there, blah, blah, blah. And so the police officer let it go. We got in a van and I got my behind whipped. Like, she was like, why would you do that? I tell you, you stay in here, blah, blah, blah. So after that, I never got out of the van ever after that. But I remember that distinctively. So rewind back to basically being 22, and I've never gone gambling. I don't even like to buy lotto tickets. But the first time I bought a lotto ticket, I cussed the whole time because I lost. And I was like, I could have used that money towards this, this, and this. Second time I went on a date to the casino because in Lake Charles, that's all they really have. They got like basically like two casinos that you can choose from to go to. That's not really, I mean, it's getting bigger now, but at the time, it's not really much you could really do other than go to the casino. So there was one of the big ones that just came. And I went on a date there, and you know what's crazy? Like I have like $5, and I lost. I played on the penny machine. I had $5. I lost. I was angry because I lost $5. I was drinking too. You know, you get free drinks as long as you play. But I was just mad over $5. I'm like, I don't see the point in this. I don't see the point in the anticipation of possibly could win something. I didn't work hard for this. I'm just pressing buttons and hopefully my chance, my luck, I get a big score. And so, you know, rewind back. I take that trauma of me as a kid and things like that till now as an adult. I don't be like, bet, you know, let's put money on it or roll a dice. I don't do anything like that. Because I feel like if I'm truly blessed to have something, then that luck, that chance, that blessing should be written in the stars and should happen to me automatically. Now, I do believe, you know, sometimes that's little people's like little niche. You know, their little high or their little cigarette is going by lotto tickets. That's good. That's on you. That's fine. But I just, me personally, after the damage that was done from those experiences of my mother of this. And then, you know, I was angry for a lot of years trying to understand why gambling was important. But then as I got older and I had a conversation with my mom of her getting out of that lifestyle, I realized that there's so much pressure. There was so much pressure to excel and exceed, you know what I mean, with kids and to provide, and also in society where everyone was already looking at you like a failure because of my father. And then with the family, you know, she had three kids, you know, she's not married. And like, what are you doing with your life? Like all those pressures that women go through that constantly to obtain to a standard of society to maintain, not just for the good of who you are as a person, but just for the good of your name. And I'm saying this is that I realized as an African American or Black, whatever you want to call me, woman, it's kind of hard. It's hard. And you know, I'm tomboyish. I'm not girly or whatever. But even me being this way, me being a hardworking woman, me being independent, me trying to have a mindset, the way that I speak, the way I carry myself, I know I am a different breed. But with me being a different breed, I'm still judged. I'm still placed into a category where I'm not expected to succeed. And that's hard because even when I want to be vulnerable, I'm not allowed to be vulnerable. And you can say whatever you want about, oh, maybe it's because I'm a woman. It's hard being a woman, yes, because we bear the children. We go through changes with our bodies constantly. We are categorized by our bodies, not just how we present ourselves, but just our bodies in general, of what we wear or what we can't wear, or how we, you know, hygiene or all these things that are put forth that we have to sustain to that men don't, down to our names or yes, how we carry ourselves, how we articulate our adventures on how we provide for ourselves or do we provide for ourselves. There are so many standards that we have to either subject to or deny or define as a woman that once you add race, it makes it 10 times harder. I'm sorry to say this. And I am colorblind. I've been raised to be colorblind. And the reason why I say I'm colorblind is because I don't look at a race for the color or your ethnicity or the way that you speak, any of those things that put you in a different category to everyone else, I do not see. I judge people by their energy and their character. And I say that because my friends are all different. Different races, different ethnicities. I can be a chameleon. And okay, funny thing, one pharmacy I work for, like, they were all like Asian. I love them. They're so open, great individuals, very empowering and intellectual. But when we would go out, people would look at me weird, like, why am I sitting here? But these people are the most loving and caring individuals that I had a great time with these people, other than working with them, but just knowing them. But because, like, even on social media, if I posted a picture with them, people I went to school with or people I know was like, well, what were you doing there? Why should it be that? Or even if I go to one of my really good friends, shout out to Delana, we went to this, like, this pop singer, and, like, it was like teeny bop. Like, we looked super older than what we were supposed to look to go to this concert, but I had an awesome time. And people were like, you know, messaging me, why did you go out with her? Like, why? She's an amazing individual. But I feel as though, as women and as a Black woman, it's like you have to be one thing. You have to obtain one thing. You have to have a mentality is one thing. And the fact that if you break those rules, you are subjected to be judged. And that's why I feel like, especially in relationships or relationships as in couples or even business, is that I finally realize why it can be so hard to be honest. My brothers always say, you have to respect a man who's willing to be honest with you, regardless of what comes out of his mouth. If he's willing to be 100% honest with you, you have to respect what he's telling you. It doesn't mean you have to accept it, but you have to respect it, because he's coming forth to you with honesty. When, let's be real. Now, this is what my brothers explained to me. Let's be real. A lot of people are so comfortable and so free when they lie. So when you find a real person that's willing to be honest with you, you got to respect that. And you know, as I get older, though, that form of advice changes so much. But I feel as though when a person feels like, even if it's like a little lie or a white lie, I feel like they feel so uncomfortable to even tell the truth because of me being a woman, because of my race, because of the stereotypical things that they have been through previously, thinking that we're all the same. Thinking that we all think the same, we all respond the same. Like, why do we categorize people by gender and race? We do it every day. Like, let's say, prime example, I've dated out of my race before. I've dated Spanish. I've dated different Spanish. I've honestly dated different cultures. Like, I've did Indian or I've did, you know, but I realize each conversation is different. Like, when I dated Spanish, we had, like, this very heated, I remember my ex-boyfriend, we had this very heated discussion on standards. And he was like, you know, I never expected you to say that. Because I was like, you know, I don't even remember what we're just discussing things. And he was like, I never would expect you to say that. I said, excuse me? Like, we're at dinner. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, I don't know. He's like, because when you think of a Black woman in reference to being open for this type of topic, you imagine them saying, oh no, I'm not doing that, or no, you won't do that. And I remember I looked at him and he started laughing. He said, why? I said, you put me in a category due to my race, when I never put you in a category due to yours. I brought you into my world accepting you for who you are. Yet you judge me, and then in the same breath tell me you accept me. So you literally, each conversation you have or opinion you have of me or how I would react, you go to the example of my race and my gender, not of who I actually am. You place me in a category of everyone, knowing I am an individual. And it's crazy to say that, because I see that at workplaces. Like, I literally went to an interview. They saw my name Shelby on the resume. So we did a phone interview, right? Phone interview, great conversation. And when I got there to the interview, the guy, you know, I was in the waiting room. He said, Shelby. And I stood. I said, yes, sir. And he looked a little shocked. So he said, you're Shelby? You're Shelby Henny? I said, yes, sir, I am. Nice to meet you. I said, okay. We'll just have a seat in here, and I'm going to get another one of my colleagues, which actually is my boss, and she's going to sit in the interview with us. I'm just, you know, he's stuttering, like he's uncomfortable. And so I was like, okay, no problem. So he goes, yeah, I sit, he goes in and gets his boss. And, you know, race doesn't matter to me. So they come in and they both stand at the door and stare at me. They stare at me for quite a bit of time. And they were just like, Shelby? I'm like, yes, it's me, Shelby. And I stand up and I reach out my hand to, you know, give them a handshake. And they shake my hand and they sit down, and I start telling them, you know, I went to school and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they also asked me, you know, my accomplishments. I've told them, I did, at that time, I only did one book. I've published a book, you know, this X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. And they stare at me after asking me all those questions. And they were like, we're very shocked. And I said, oh, okay. Thank you. You know, and they're like, well, we want to give you opportunity, blah, blah, blah. When the boss leaves, the main guy who was initially supposed to do my interview, he said, yes, we were very shocked. He said, you know, no offense. I just, you know, your name and everything. And I'm like, I can't believe he's telling me that because of my name, he didn't expect me to look this way. He didn't expect me to be black. He's like, your voice. And he was like, it's so great to meet you, like trying to cover it up. And I was like, wow, even at this age, even how I articulate myself, the fact that my name got me in the door, but the way that I look, the color of my skin, and mind you, I wasn't wearing no Hoochie Mama stuff or anything. I was wearing a business suit. Business suit. My hair was pulled up in a bun, and I had got some weave then, so the bun was like sitting up nice. You know, like I was looking professional. I had no makeup on my face. I had my big glasses on because I'm blind. And my skin color did not match their idea of how I was supposed to articulate or respond. It baffled them. But that was because they placed my race, my gender in a category and automatically stick that I'm supposed to be this one person. And when I appear to be nothing of that, your expectations, I'm me. Now, don't get it twisted. I don't try to be any other person to stand out. I don't try to say things to shine brighter than anyone else. It's crazy to me that even when I went out with my homeboy, his friend was like, because I started dancing. Like, I know how to belly dance. I used to do dance classes. And, you know, I'm from Louisiana, so we, you know, twerk and we do all those things. You know, I do all those things. I like to have a good time. So when I start dancing or doing like the bunny hop, he's like, I wouldn't have imagined her doing these things. And I said, why? Because you think I'm so motherly, I don't have fun? He said, no. He's just like, it's just, you're so, I was like, I'm so neo, so Erykah Badu. You don't think of me as to do anything other than that. And we do it in our own race. Everyone does it. Everyone puts everybody in a box, in a category. And when it wasn't what you expected, you're shocked. But I never try to be anything other than what I am. I try to be me. I try. At the end of the day, when I close my eyes and go to sleep at night, I want to be comfortable that I was myself all day. I didn't pretend to be someone else. I didn't pretend to make anyone else comfortable. I didn't pretend or put in check my emotions to please anybody. I was authentically me every single day. So when I close my eyes, I am comfortable. I am comfortable in my skin. And so with all these pressures that come into play, being a woman, any race, to be a woman in any race is knowing when to be comfortable. Don't let you being a woman define you. Don't let what society has an image of you to be turn you into be something you're not. Always authentically be yourself. Be comfortable, be confident, be secure within yourself. Because at the end of the day, when you close your eyes at night, are you comfortable? Do you have any regret in your heart for what you did to please everyone else? If you're comfortable, then that's all that matters. So what society defines you to be should never matter.
In conclusion, I just want to tell you guys to promise to cherish the day. And it's your girl Shelby Henny signing off. Have a good one, y'all.